Yesterday we were looking at the book of Genesis, and one of the things that we saw in Genesis chapter 13 is the story of Abram. And Abram was rich. Abram had much. He had silver, he had gold, and he had a lot of livestock. And because Abram had the favor of God upon him, the favor of God was on all that were with Abram. And we see his nephew Lot. Lot also had a lot. Lot had much in the way of livestock as well. And we see in the 13th chapter of Genesis that because they are both so blessed, they have herdsmen taking care of their flock. And it says that because they were so blessed, they had such abundance, that as they were dwelling together, the land that they were dwelling on together could not support all that livestock. And there started to be some strife between the herdsmen for Abram and the herdsmen for Lot. And so Abram said, having the heart of God, Abram said, we need to separate. So Lot, you look. So they stand there, they look over all the area. And Abram said to Lot, you choose. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You choose. And Lot looked and he saw that the land to the right, he saw that the land to the east, to the Jordan, along the Jordan Valley, was lush and fruitful. And so he chose that. Lot thought of himself. Abram, who's the one that had the covenant with God, and would certainly be the one that, in the natural, you would say, you know what, that blessing really is his. He should get the choice. Abram, in the effort to just avoid strife, to make sure that there was peace, Abram said, you go. You choose. I'll take whatever's left over. So Lot took the choice land, and Abram took what was left. And the amazing thing is that God blessed Abram. And God brought Abram, and he said, you see, look to the north, south, east, and west. All that you can see, it's yours. The blessings go beyond you and your generation. God is faithful, and God will move through a heart like Abram that in order to have peace will make any sacrifice for others. Now, it's striking to me because we live in a time and a culture where everything is the opposite. We're taught, we're told, we're trained to take care of yourself and to think of yourself because no one else is going to. But you better take care of yourself because if you don't, you're not going to have. And our culture also tells us that whatever it is that you feel is right for you, you go ahead and do it. You do what is good for you. Doesn't matter what anyone else says. Doesn't matter how anyone else is affected. If it's right for you, then you do it. That's what our culture says, which is why we're at a place of such selfishness, and selfishness always leads to depravity. This is where we stand as a culture today. And I gave you the reference or the illustration yesterday of 2 days ago, I was listening to sports radio, and they weren't talking about sports. That's why I was listening. They were talking about some kind of social matter that I don't even know what it was. It was something that one of the hosts was talking about his kids. And what really struck me is the one man that was standing for decency and for standards was being almost accosted by the other three that were there, telling him, and here's the one person, and this is the most mature person that's there, which is why I say mature as far as age-wise. Not maturity spiritually or mentally. In summary, what he said is, look, you take care of yourself. Because what he said was, if I go back to college, I remember the things I did in college. I did some bad things in college. And I did some things that were hurtful to people and deliberately hurtful. But I don't regret any of it. He was very bold in saying that. He didn't regret any of it. None of the wrong things that he acknowledges he did, nor the fact that he hurt people. Because he said, I learned from it. I grew from it. And even the people that I hurt, they had a chance to grow from it as well. I was stunned that he said that. And the other two joined with him and tried to convince the other one that that was the right and the proper attitude to have. Stunning where our culture has come. But this is what our culture teaches us. You know, if it works for you and it's right for you, do it. We are very selfish and self-centered. We do what is right and feels good for us. Now, what Abram demonstrated was the heart of God and the attitude of God and the example that we're supposed to have, which is you do whatever it takes to keep peace, to avoid strife, and to bless others. You think of others first. Now, if we move on to Philippians, we see that this is the heart of God. Old Testament, New Testament, God never changes. This is Paul's letter to the Philippians. And in chapter 2, starting in verse number 3, he says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also for the interests of others." So in his letter to the Philippians, Paul is saying, we should do nothing. I would challenge us, and I would say, this week, as you reflect on this week, how many things have you done that you did for the pure motivation of just blessing someone else, of taking care of someone else, of benefiting someone else, where you did something that you gained nothing out of it personally, but you just did it to bless them? See, the example of Abram is to keep the peace, to avoid strife. You make whatever sacrifice and God blesses you. But when we come into Jesus, it's like all things. The new covenant that we have is a superior covenant. But along with that superior covenant comes greater expectations as well, higher expectations for those of us that are in the new covenant. So if that was the standard that Abram had, which was a high standard, the standard that we have is better. We don't just make sacrifices to avoid strife and to have peace. We make sacrifices simply for the fact and for the purpose of benefiting others. That's the standard that we have. That's the standard that's expected out of us. So Paul, when he says this, says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of conceit. But in lowliness of mind, in other words, in your own mind, lower yourself and raise up others. Look around you today. Just be watchful as you go through the day. See how many times people come into your life, or circumstances, or instances come into your life, where the opportunity is there, where you can either think of yourself, or you're going to think of somebody else. It's going to be presented to you in small things and in large things. And then what's your response going to be? Because Paul says, think of yourself lowly in mind, lowliness of mind. Lower yourself in your own mind so that you can raise up others in your mind, in your estimation, so that you can serve them, that you can bless them. Here's an example. If you go to the store today, you're going to be moving around the parking lot, cruising the aisles, trying to find the parking space that is closest to the front door of whatever store you're going to. And we'll do that. We will kind of cruise the aisles of the parking lot, trying to find the best space. And if you see a space and you see someone else headed there, you're going to try to get there first. And even if you don't see anyone else there, if there's a space that is available, you're going to take that space because it benefits you. That's not lowliness of mind. And you could say to yourself, well, you know what? There's no one else there. I might as well take it. That still is thinking. I know it's a small thing, but it reflects how in our culture we're trained to think of ourselves. Where Paul says, be lowly of mind. We are supposed to be no selfish ambition, no conceit, not thinking of ourselves, but in lowliness of mind, lowering ourselves in our own mind to benefit others. If you see a space that's close, and you see a space that's maybe 10 spaces away from that, and there's no one else there, what are you going to do? You're going to take the closest space. But I would suggest, take the farther away space and let it be a blessing to the next person. I always tell my wife, I remember we talked about this years and years ago, and she would say, why aren't you taking the close space? There's no one else is even here coming. It's uncontested. Take it. But my mindset is, yes, but what if the next person is an elderly person and walking is a difficulty? Or what if it's a pregnant woman and walking is a difficulty? You know, I want to make sure that I leave that space for them. I don't want to take the best space for myself. I'll take a farther away space and let them have it. And people have said to me, yes, but the next person who comes is not going to have that same mindset. So unless that next person who comes is elderly or a pregnant woman, they're not going to have that space. Yeah, but I can't control that. I can only control, and this is exactly what Paul is saying, I can only control my mind, my attitude, and the things that I do. Paul says, do nothing, not even a small thing like parking spaces, do nothing that is selfish. Do nothing that is conceited, but in lowliness of mind, lowering yourself in your own mind, esteem others better than yourselves. So the parking lot example is just one small example. There could be multiple things that take place, and that's a small, simple one. If your eyes are open and you're watchful for it, you're going to see there's opportunity upon opportunity today for you to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ and the nature of Jesus Christ by making a sacrifice. like bringing yourself, thinking of yourself in lowliness of mind, doing nothing that is selfish, but doing things that esteem others or that benefit others. Verse 4 is crystal clear. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. It is your responsibility. As a follower in Jesus Christ, it is your responsibility to be watchful and thinking about the interests of others. Now again, with that in mind, reflect. How many things have you done today? I realize it's only 9:16, but how many things have you done today that have benefited somebody else? Listen, if you're awake and breathing, opportunities are there. Even if it's your spouse or your children or the person that you saw when you stopped to get gas or get your coffee today, there was an opportunity there to consider somebody better than yourself. Have we done that? And then look at it from the larger picture this whole week. How many things have I done that I did truly for the express purpose of benefiting somebody else, where I benefited nothing from it? You know, the next thing that we see is it says in verse number 5, let this be the mind in you, which is also in Christ. It is the mind of Jesus Christ. It is his mind, his heart, to consider others better than yourself, to esteem others higher than yourself, to not only look out for your own interest, but to make it a priority to watch the interests of others. For this is his mind. All right, let me go to the book of James. In the book of James, we see James chapter 3, verse number 16. James 3:16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So when that radio person said, listen, I have no regrets, I learned from it, it benefited me. That is self-seeking. That is thinking only of self. You know what? That attitude and that mindset, his lifestyle, is bringing confusion and every evil thing to where he's at and surrounding him. He's going to find in his life there is confusion and there's going to be strife, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be evil things because he's invited it to be there. If you wonder why there is confusion around you, if you wonder why sometimes it just seems like bad things keep happening, for where envy and self-seeking exist, for where there is selfishness of thought, where you are thinking of yourself and not thinking of others, where you fail to consider others better than yourself, where you fail to be thinking of yourself with lowliness of mind, lowering yourself in your own mind and raising up others, where that is, where that exists, brings every confusion and every evil thing there. This is why it's so important for us in our culture today to be the ones that are the examples, to be the ones that follow the example of Jesus Christ and follow the standard that was set to us, set for us, both in Genesis, in Ephesians, and here in James. And we can even find it in Romans as well if we had more time. Look for opportunities today. You look at the culture and it's easy to get disappointed. It's easy to get frustrated with our culture. You're not expected to change our culture. You can't yourself change Hollywood or change Washington, D.C. You can't even change Columbus. But what you can do is you can change the culture that is around you. You change the lives and the people that are around you by being Jesus Christ, by living the standards of Jesus Christ, by exemplifying his nature and his love to them. This wins the people around you. As you win the people around you for Jesus Christ, you change the culture that is around you. And if every one of us is changing the culture around us, listen, if there's hundreds and hundreds of people listening right now, if each one of you, if each one of us would change the culture around us, think about how the greater culture would change. It would be amazing. If you can live a life that would change even 5 lives in the next 5 years, and everyone did that, imagine the change in the culture in the next 5 years. And then they would do the same thing. You would have exponentially a change in the culture, back to the things of Christ, back to hearts for Christ. But it all starts with having and being and doing having the nature of Christ and the mind of Christ ourselves.